Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Dads Who Try. And this is episode 35, Tommy.
This is episode 35, and you know I always pair this number up with something. And when I think about the number 35, what do I think of? You already guessed it. We're thinking about the newest addition in Phoenix, KD, number 35, the Slim Reaper, that could probably go down as one of the best basketball players to ever play the game as well.
Go down as one of the best basketball players in the history of offensive players in the history of NBA who can't get a ring by himself.
I mean, we're just out here throwing jabs on a Monday morning. Shout out to KD.
Okay. Big shout out to everyone who has subscribed to the podcast. I think I saw we have 2,800 Spotify subscribers. We don't know what that looks like on Apple and the other platforms, but we want to say thank you so much to everyone who has subscribed, who has dropped a review, who has let us, went on Apple and sent in a little comment. Tommy, on Spotify, we went from 4.9
to a 5
to a 4.8.
Wait, I thought you were about to go up on a Monday, and you're telling me that someone left a negative review?
I mean, it could have just been like a 4.7 review, but if you're not dropping fives, then you can go to someone else's podcast.
Hey, how about you guys take yourself over to Joe Schmo's podcast?
Yeah.
And give him a 4.3.
How about Joe Schmo's who try, okay? We're kidding. Look, we appreciate the honesty, and whenever we see a drop or something like that in the reviews, we know that we got stuff to work on, so we're committed to it. But if you ever leave a review like that again,
we're coming for you.
I have a special set of skills.
Hey, it's an exciting morning. We have a special guest in the stew.
In the stew, yes. We call the studio the garage. It is not just a, it is a garage. But I'll say this. We've been wanting this guest. We've been internally talking about this guest for a long time, and we're excited. Put your hands together wherever you are. Put your hands together. Drop it in the comment. Like, there's no comments in this. It's not a live stream. But we have none other than Jake Stapleton with us this morning. Put your hands together.
Let's go. Jake, how you feeling this morning?
Good morning, boys. So honored to be here on your pod. Super stoked.
Yeah.
I've been aspiring to be a guest for a long time now. All right. And all of my prayers and all of my dreams have come true.
Let's go.
No, I'm honored to be in your presence. Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah.
Do you want to just hold it just a little bit closer? There you go. Okay, run down your, we call it the dad resume. Hit us with your dad resume.
Fantastic. Well, I could get really deep into it, but I want to be very respectful of the guests, the people that are going to be consuming this podcast. So I'll keep it nice and short. I have a son that will be 2 years old on May 30th.
That's coming.
Changed my life forever. His name is Benjamin. We call him Benny. Like Benny and the Jets, baby, but we spell it a little bit different. He's B-E-N-I.
I like that.
Yeah, he is. He's incredible, man. He's really changed my entire perspective on life, but has brought so much more meaning and so much more passion to everything that I do. He was born here in Los Angeles, California, 10 weeks early.
10
weeks. In NICU for 48 days.
Stop.
But there's a good thing about this. That is what brought his mom and I closer than you could ever do naturally. Mm. We banded together. Yeah. Yep. He was born at 2 pounds, 15.3 ounces. Not real. He used to fit in the palm of my hand, and now he's palming my face. Yeah.
Dude, that is crazy, bro. Yeah. I never knew that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we don't publicize it, but it's his testimony. It's our story. We're so happy to talk about it. Shout out to NICU nurses, by the way. They are a different breed. They did things for my son, and I will say this wholeheartedly, that Sophie and I would never be able to do for him. If he came home with us that day, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro.
So, shout out.
You're giving me juice this morning.
Come on.
This is amazing. What a story.
Yeah.
Hey, can we lean into that for a second? I love what you said. If it wasn't for this instance, you and your wife wouldn't have been as close as you are now. You wouldn't have had that catalyst for you guys to grow closer. But I'll say this. Most of the statistics show us that when there's, especially in infants or, you know, birth, when there are, especially at NICU issues or scares like that, all the statistics show it actually splinters relationships, doesn't bring them closer. So, like what you're talking about, that's abnormal. That's you know, outside of the statistics. Like, what was maybe something for you that you were like, this was it? Both of you were just resilient, had to come together. You were all you had for each other. Like, what was, if you could even identify it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's so good to ask these questions later on because it allows me to reflect on things that sometimes I just overlook because we're so much further along. Yeah. Yeah, fantastic question. I think that we just both knew that that was the only option that we wanted to give ourselves, that we both were elated to be parents, that we knew that there was a her and I before there was a Benny, and we didn't want to lose that. But we were also in a brand new situation that neither of us knew how to handle. We were first-time parents, and this is what we were going through. Mm. So it's either we make or break, literally. But I think that was profound for me was that not only is she a mother and she experienced different things than I do as a father, and that will forever be the case, but it was a whole nother level of emotions for her to not be able to bring her. I mean, it crushed me too, but for a mother to not be able to bring her child home for 48 days, can't imagine what she was going through. So I had to turn it up a notch and be Jake and then some to be able to support her, to keep us solid. Just say, hey, we would go from Hollywood to Good Samaritan Hospital. So for people that have no idea, you know, what the proximity is, we would have to get on a freeway in Los Angeles to go visit him for 2-3 hours in the morning during traffic and 2 or 3 hours in the morning, or I'm sorry, at night in traffic. And that was also so that breast milk and things like that could be transported. So we got skin to skin, et cetera. So we spent 6 or 7 hours a day back and forth to the hospital, come back, we'd sleep, we'd work, and do it all over again.
That is a wild
48
days.
Yeah. But you know what? You didn't even realize that it was 48 days until he finally came home. It's like all of the exhaustion hit us at once. Oh, yeah. We were like, oh, we were really doing it like that?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm not pumping us up or anything. I mean, we had our rough times, no doubt. But the realization of what we did for 48 days didn't really hit us until after the fact.
Yeah, I imagine it's like the emotional exhaustion on top of the physical exhaustion. It's like you're keeping yourself up, you know, half by caffeine, half by adrenaline, you know, add another 50%, which goes above the 100%, you know, that you didn't realize you had in right. you, just sheer will and, you know, then all of a sudden this moment you've been believing for, praying for, you know, happens. And it's like the letdown of that adrenaline has got to be like a shutdown, like complete shutdown.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
Bro, it's just wild to me though. You know, like when you start to face a situation, I think like you start realizing like how much you're willing to do no matter what it takes for your little ones. And you know, I used to say, man, I'm willing to do anything for my kids. You know, like this is like way before I had kids. You know, I'm like, I see, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go the distance. And then when you have them, bro, like that, I think that phrase really resonates. Like, it shoots to the moon. It's like I'm willing to do anything for these kids. You know, and bro, it's like I'm thinking about your story, man, and 48 days of, you know, expectations, faith, and you know, going through all this stuff, I just can't imagine kind of, you know, the process that it takes on one person, the physical part, like we're talking about, the emotional part of it. And then the, you know, like the faith part of it, even, you know, like just really believing for, you know, this miracle to turn around. And, we have some friends that work in, the Children's Hospital, and, we know how relentless they are, man, in doing stuff in, you know, in that world. And so shout out to all the nurses that are just, you know, sacrificing, huge, giving their lives to this whole cause, man. It's insane.
Yeah, not only just the actual work that they did to get a child from being totally unsustainable to a flourishing child, the environment that they cultivated for us as well, knowing that we were new parents, knowing that we hadn't that we were experiencing something that was not an ideal circumstance, right? They made everything feel so welcoming. They answered all of our questions. They would sit and converse with us. It got to the point where we started requesting the nurses that we wanted with our son.
Yeah.
So just to give you a little sneak peek, yeah. I don't wish that on anybody, but if somehow somebody could live through that without the pain and the worry of, hey, my child is 2 pounds and 15 ounces,
yeah,
then I wish they could to see what the nurses and the people within that hospital can do and do, you know.
Isn't it such an interesting idea? Like, NICU nurses really, you know, is such a thankless position, except for the people who've gone, been with them, but you have to have a trauma in order to see them.
Right.
And it's like, I can't, you know, we're in the church world. And so a big part of my experience is like, people only want to talk when they got problems, you know? Mm. And so I imagine, especially for NICU nurses, like, and maybe we can get into this topic a little bit too. They must have a purpose that goes beyond outward,
exactly.
Approval or acceptance. And, you know, it's like, you can't just be a NICU. Not every human being can go through the schooling. Like, I'm sure you could have the technical, know-how, but to have like the personality or the emotional IQ to be a NICU nurse, that's a special human being.
Yeah. Wow. One last piece to add on that transition wherever I took I didn't actually write down the results, but internally I took a poll almost every day that we went into NICU, unless I had already known the person, right? Yeah. I'd already met them. I didn't need to ask them twice. But every NICU nurse that I interacted with, and some that weren't even working with my son, I asked if they had children of their own or they wanted to have children of their own. And there was some anomalies, but there was a resounding, I don't know, I don't think that that's for me, or I have my own kids here. Mm. So a lot of the NICU nurses that we met saw the NICU children patients as their own. Wow. and didn't think about, so it's really their life. They're there for 12 hours at a time.
Jeez. That is, again, I don't wish this upon anyone. That's encouraging to think that someone would be down. You know, they're going to treat your kid like their own, because it's literally for them. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a broad brush. Not all of them, like you said. But yeah, that's really encouraging and really exciting. And we're glad Benny
is
healthy. And yeah, absolutely. That's such a crazy story.
How's that for a resume? Is that all right?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was so good. Cool. Okay, I think we should talk about another guy's resume real quick. We mentioned him at the top. Like, can we please talk about Kevin Durant for a second?
Come on. I think you said the best offensive player, right? Arguably, top five offensive player of all time.
For sure.
I think he's one of the best two-way players. I think that the defense that KD plays is often overlooked. I think you're spot on about he can't win a championship by himself, unfortunately. But doesn't that say something about him, where he knows where to go to win?
Well, how many has he won?
Two, both with Steph, Clay.
So does he? He tried an experiment once, left.
True.
He hasn't gotten it back.
Do we factor an injury?
Of course, yeah. This guy hasn't done the due diligence to bulk up a little bit.
Yeah, he's
Slim Reaper. After his physical body.
Look, KD has always been one of my favorite players of all time. One of the reasons why I got into basketball in the first place. I'm from Seattle. You know, he was drafted with the Sonics. Like, he's one of my favorite players. Unfortunately, unless this guy gets a ring without a Steph level talent,
he ain't doing it.
He's always gonna have an asterisk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if he wins this year with Devin Booker,
I would say, see, that's hard because
Chris Paul's never won one either.
Yeah,
neither has Devin Booker.
I don't think Chris Paul ever will, personally.
So you're saying they're not gonna win this year?
No.
Who is coming? If you had to take a guess right now with the way teams are playing, who would you say?
I love this question, Tommy. Thank you for that.
Warriors. Look at him. I can just see in his eyes. Yes, sir.
I mean, look at history over the last 10 years.
Here's because my team was stolen viciously from my city, the Seattle Sonics, Supersonics, now they're the Thunder. I have no team loyalty.
Yeah.
I only have history loyalty. I just want history to be made.
And you think history will be made with the Warriors winning?
That's what I want. Yeah. Look, or LeBron.
Yeah.
In the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to be able to. I didn't watch basketball when MJ was in his prime.
Right. Right.
Or even Kobe was in his prime. So now I'm like, I want something to be able to tell my kids and go, well, I remember when.
Yeah.
LeBron. I remember when Steph. You know, and there's a few of those moments.
Yeah.
Steph with the 3-point records. Yep. You know, obviously best shooter of all time. LeBron breaking all sorts of records. Yep. You know, but. Like, we're talking, I want to talk about GOAT stuff. You know, like, if Steph wins another two and wins a couple final MVPs, is he goated?
Yeah.
That puts him at six if he wins two more. So he's neck and neck with MJ, by the way. I saw Air last night with Sophia. Super late. That was fire, that movie.
But listen, you guys, I was watching some highlights last night, and I saw that the Warriors, they scored in a regular NBA game, 157 points.
Jeez.
Against who? The Portland Trail Blazers. You guys, that's what does it was like 157 to like 107. How do you get blown out by like 40, 50 points for one against a team? Like, the Blazers are not bad.
Poor Damian Lillard, man.
But I'm thinking, yeah, exactly.
He's so loyal. Yeah. His loyalty is his failure.
But I'm thinking, like, dude, I don't know, man. I think Wiggins is back, right? Wiggins?
Yeah.
Yeah. When they have a full-on squad, they got a crew that looks pretty deep on the bench now as well. It looks like they could be the ones. Now, who do I want to win? I want the Lakers to win. Bro, I would love to see the Lakers win. I really would. But the West is so hard, bro. Think about all these teams they're trying to have to plow through. And
who comes out of the West? What's the Western Conference Finals? We need to know that because teams have been neck and neck all season.
I think if, personally, who I love to see in the Western Conference Finals, we already know the Warriors are going to take one spot, bro. It would be cool to see, like, I don't know, I guess, like, I want Lakers and Warriors, I guess, to be up in there playing. I guess it would be, but Phoenix, I think, could have Phoenix. I know we're saying that, you know, it's hard for them to, you know, like, win, but I do think that the way that they've been playing as of, you know, the last couple of weeks, yeah. I think it's really cool. They're making a big run, too, when KD's healthy, when Devin's there, and when Chris Paul's in there, you know, it looks like they're having fun. But I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate, actually. You know, I was actually thinking about this the other day. Dallas with Kyrie. Dude, how do you get
bust? You saw the NBA's investigating them.
You guys, that's not good.
First of all, they had that whole incident where they were basically had a rebuttal on that one game where they're like, hey, this was misofficiated or whatever. But I think they're being investigated for basically intentionally tanking towards the end.
They can get a pick or something?
They sat all of their starters. Right?
In Dallas.
They all said that they had an injury because that's what's always on the reports.
Right.
But they sat all of their starters in the last game of the season when they had an opportunity to get one of the play-in spots. Every single starter they sat.
That's crazy.
That is not.
Luka didn't play. Kyrie didn't play. Tim Hardaway didn't play. Max Kleba didn't play. And they had a chance to make it to the playoffs? Whose sick agenda was that?
And now.
I'm fired up.
Now, when that happens, though, you can only think about a few things. They're probably thinking about next year's picks.
Of course.
I'm guessing.
That's what they're saying. That's why they're investigating. Did they botch for a lottery spot?
Dang.
If that team plays well and they're healthy, they go deep.
They go deep.
They could make it out.
Yeah. And they have enough.
Definitely.
Like, I enjoy watching, like, Tim Hardaway Jr., bro. He came from Michigan. And so,
it's a smooth career.
Dude, he has the sauce. Luka, I mean, it's fun to watch.
Sweet jumper
guy,
from Timmy J.
Luka is the most. I've never seen someone look like. He looks like what the highest level of pickup basketball could ever be.
I like
and
that.
And he's balling out.
There's nothing like. When you watch him, he's doing insane stuff. And this has got to be the most uncool look to do it.
Yeah.
But it's the most effective. That sounds bad. Luka, to me, is like, he's such a freak. He's incredible. Then you add Kyrie to this thing. Everyone, when he first joined the team, they're dropping some crazy numbers. Game after game, you know. They both got 40 multiple times. You know, it's like, And now you're telling me that this team, like, I hate to say it, but.
But like, what do you think? What do you think changes?
Like, it's Kyrie.
You think it's Kyrie?
Anywhere Kyrie goes that doesn't have a guy who can. Sorry, this is speculation. Anywhere that Kyrie's gone that doesn't have a real deal alpha.
Yeah.
He's going to be a cancer.
Can I go a tier higher? Yeah. Anywhere that Kyrie goes that doesn't have LeBron, he can't handle it.
You said it. That's what I'm saying.
LeBron's the only one that can keep Kyrie in check if we're looking at Kyrie's career.
You know who else probably could? Draymond and that whole crew. Yeah. That culture is probably strong enough. That would get nasty. That culture is probably strong enough where Kyrie has that bump up. You know, yeah. LeBron was, he had that culture so on lock that Kyrie doesn't have anywhere to go with it except for to ball out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
you put him with James Harden and KD.
Get out of here.
All three of these dudes, airheads, they're gone.
Airheads.
Are you kidding me? That talent, that should have been.
I know. The biggest bust. And then how do you have Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant on the same team, and they play, what, 35 games together over the span of three seasons?
Yeah.
You guys.
Can you imagine being a Brooklyn fan? That's got to be the biggest letdown. You know you're going to get those three guys. They're like, oh, we're going to run it. We're going to get some chips.
We're gonna go to the games. We're going to watch these guys play.
And now when you get season tickets, one of every 10 home games, you get to see them play together. Wow. Shout out to the Kings, by the way. We're here in California.
Yep.
The state's capital is in Sacramento.
Yep.
Yeah.
First time making the playoffs, I think, since 2003, if I'm not mistaken.
Whoa.
Nonetheless, the Kings have been irrelevant for a long time. I think the last time they were relevant, they had Vlade Divac.
Mike Bibby.
Wow.
Mike Bibby, okay. White chocolate was on their team at one point. Yeah. I wish I was the next white chocolate.
Bro, he is one of the best white boys, handles all of that.
A little resurgence of his career. As far as social media.
Oh, he was kind of on the comeback for something.
Yeah, he was on the professor's YouTube channel showing him how to, you know, do all the passes he did in his career and stuff.
Imagine a one-on-one between White Chocolate and Kyrie Irving. The handles that you would see on the one-on-one game.
Jeez.
Be through the roof.
Dude,
Jeez.
Yeah, it's. Dude, that's actually you know, I don't know who would be the better player. I know you're thinking probably Kyrie. He's a scorer.
It feels like Kyrie has like this. He's like a surgeon.
Yeah.
And White Chocolate's like an artist.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's well said. Really,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, dude, this guy is coming up with stuff in his mind in the moment that fits the need. And Kyrie's more like, you know, move 47, initiate. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Dude, I remember one of Kyrie's like moments. I kind of remember when I talk about him is when he played in the All-Star game, and he was coming down, and Brandon, what's this guy's name? He played for Detroit for a little bit.
Brandon Knight. Oh, Brandon Knight.
Brandon Knight was holding him, and you know that Kyrie pressed the R2 button and then the trick stick, and he ying ying yah. And got this boy, bro, in an All-Star game, made him fall and everything. Oh, you guys, boy.
Poor Brandon Knight.
That's bad when they're only playing half defense.
This guy is known for getting posted by, who was it, DeAndre Jordan? Twice.
Lob City.
Yeah, Lob City just stealing this guy. This guy comes into the league and he's like, people are hyped on him. He's playing well. He's in the All-Star game. And the only thing he's known for in his career now is
just getting, yoked
getting demolished by people.
He'll forever be on a poster. That's cool, though.
But you were talking about, you know, Luka being, like, such a, you know.
Like, look at this guy's body.
Yes.
He's built like me.
But and like, he's balling out.
But, like, the 6'7 version of me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe not quite built like me. But, yeah, he's balling out.
Dude, I just.
For those that don't know, Nate's just under 6'7". Just under.
Yeah, 6'5".
Smizzery.
Yeah, 6'5", so.
You guys, all I want to, you know, I feel like if I could be like a perfect height, I would want to be like 6'3". 6'3", like just that. Athletic, and just being able to hoop until I'm like 50.
Look, we're a bunch of, in the room right now, if you guys didn't notice, the average height of between the three of us is about 6'1".
Mine is like 5 inches. So like maybe like 5'8".
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
On but, a really solid day when we're standing tall, posture's on point. Yeah, Jay, absolutely.
You've been a, like, to me, when I see you, I'm like, you scream out like fitness guru vibes. You really do. Like,
I appreciate that.
You do.
I truly
appreciate it.
And I see on your wrist that you have a tattoo that says "Go One More."
Let's go.
And that's from our guy Nick Bear.
That's right, from Nick Bear. Yeah. BPN, Bear but, Performance Nutrition. Yeah. This is not an ad.
This is not an ad. But it could be, Nick, if you're listening.
I'm running in the BPN marathon this Sunday in Round Rock, Texas.
Stop.
300 people on a private ranch. 13.1 in, 13.1 back.
How'd you get invited?
I've just been keeping up with the BPN community, and those people that are kind of heavily involved, keeping up with their content, their posts, whatever, and their ambassador team, they sent out this notice, I think it was at the end of last year, and said, hey, we're launching this 300-man marathon. Seats are going to go right away. Hop in, join the community. So I got on it. It was also part of one of my physically hard challenges for the year, was to run my first marathon, which I did in Florida in the end of January.
Talk about adrenaline dump. We talked about
that,
right?
Man, adrenaline dump, yeah. Literally, when I saw the finish line, everything that was being built up came, it just became reality. My legs froze, everything, man. What a mental battle a marathon is. But it was a lot of fun. So anyway, I got signed up in time. So I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to go out there on a Saturday and come back right after on a Sunday. So hopefully I can sit on the plane.
You're going to run the marathon real quick.
I'm that's good. That's some kind of discipline and training.
Thought real quick. You know, that's how I usually run mine too. And so, why are you laughing so hard?
Just because you guys are awesome. That's why.
Now, have you, clearly you're into fitness. You know, I believe that you're actually in the, you know, you work around that world. Yeah. And have you always been like that?
People ask that question because I am a coach at F45 on the side in Hollywood.
Yep.
And I do that because, so I don't really personal train. And the reason, I love personal training. I love one-on-one interaction. I think it's very, very intimate and it's so cool to kind of see the journey that you can take somebody on if they are committed. That's the key is the trainer is not the remedy. The trainer's the facilitator, okay? But F45 is a group fitness setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that community where people are like-minded in the sense that they're wanting to get better physically, which in turn I think helps them get better mentally.
Yep.
It's just all interconnected, you know, kind of like the body is.
Yeah.
I love leading on that platform
because
it's something that I'm passionate about. Yep. And I believe wholeheartedly that when you're passionate about something, you do it so well, you don't think about it as work. So I show up and I'm like, man, I'm so grateful to be here. But being able to bring people together in that, you know, in that realm is really, really special.
Yeah.
But I got into fitness because of sports. I played sports my whole life.
Yeah.
So you know that when you're playing a sport, you have the weight room regimen as part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I wanted to be an athlete that could hold my own. I didn't want to be like Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I wanted to have some meat on my body. Katie, we love you, man. If you're ever listening to this podcast,
you're invited.
Look, we
swing on by.
Look, Giannis started following us back when we had, you know, maybe less than 5,000 followers.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And yeah, just out of the blue. I mean, we tried reaching out. He hasn't, you know, it's fine, Giannis. It's fine. And
I'm not saying he left our stuff on red, but he saw it.
Yeah, he might have. He saw it. Also, we've reached out to Nick. It's fine. You know, it's cool, but no.
Recent dad,
yeah,
which is really cool.
I gotta ask if you could, right now, you are legitimately a physical specimen, and I love that you're playing sports growing up. If you could have right now, if your world could switch up, and you're at the highest level of any sport.
Oh wow!
Without any of the setbacks. So, for example, if you were the highest level boxer, you wouldn't have any, you know, potential
injuries.
Yeah, injuries or. What would it be?
That's tough. So I feel like I should just answer the question straight up, but I have to add the additional stuff. My three core sports that I played throughout high school were basketball, football, and tennis. And I wanted to be an elite basketball player. I felt like I was an asset for my team, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
But my best sport was tennis.
You're a tennis guru.
In high school, I was a big tennis player.
That's fire.
But that's not what the question was. The question is going to get answered. I wish if I could go back and if I could be a professional basketball player and there's no setbacks, no considerations, absolutely in the NBA.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 1,000. I mean, the NFL is the most watched, I think, has the most viewers. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl. But the NBA, I mean, I don't know. I think that the atmosphere is different. I'm a consumer of the NBA more than I am the NFL, and I love the NFL. I love football, but I watch more games, and that's probably due to frequency of games being played. But I love the NBA. I mean, white chocolate.
On to NBA personalities as well. You can see their faces.
Yep.
You can, you know, it's like football's that thing. You see their name, not their face.
Yeah.
When you watch a sport.
What is one, like...
Your NBA too, though?
Huh?
Your NBA?
I would say NBA or...
Pickleball.
You know, or golf. I know it sounds crazy, but you guys, I'd fall in love with this game. And I'm telling you, it's... Like, if I could be a great golf player, I really would.
Yeah.
Or the third one could be, like, a soccer player. International soccer player.
Wow.
You're like...
Wow, yeah.
You're at... Bro, so soccer is the number one sport in the world.
Yes.
We know that.
Yep.
It's the most watched, viewed... You know, and it's the world is watching you when the world, obviously, Olympics and world sport, it's all of it, right?
Yeah.
But I always think about like these soccer players, these European guys, they always look so cool.
So
I'm
cool.
Like, dude, what kind of haircut is that? That's amazing.
They've led the men's hair trends.
Shout out to all the Euro players, man. Trendsetters.
The Eurohawk, the Vohawk, the.
David Beckham had it all.
Oh, David Beckham, come on.
Ugh, man, that guy.
He's the father
I'm convinced
soccer
person. Top three most famous athletes of all time.
Okay. Top three?
Yeah, this is my top three.
Yep.
Changing my mind. Michael Jordan.
Yep.
Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
And David Beckham.
Wow. That's a great take.
Look, because David Beckham, we're talking about fame, right?
Yep.
He has all of his wife's fans as well.
Yeah.
And that's what the other soccer players don't have.
Wow.
Victoria Beckham, in and of herself, is a superstar.
Spice Girls.
Right?
Come on.
Like, Muhammad Ali.
So tell me what you want, what I really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
I
want
a hot.
Well,
what do you guys think? Did I get it wrong?
It might be hard to disagree with that, honestly. If we're talking purely fame,
fame.
Or most, in fame's quantified by most known.
Yeah, most known.
Yeah. Definitely Jordan 1 and Ali 2. There's no. I think that the only thing that could potentially be interchanged is Beckham, but that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, Messi, Ronaldo, they might be up there.
They're not too far behind.
Yeah, totally. They've kind of transcended their sport.
I mean, are you trying not to touch the same sport twice?
Yeah, because you could go like MJ, LeBron, Kobe,
right.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If we're keeping it one per sport, I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm trying to like always try to like be on the other side of this thing.
And let us know in the comments. We're gonna clip this.
Clip this thing.
Yeah,
man.
We're gonna clip this
thing. I put Tom Brady at 4.
No.
Or 5. 4 or 5.
That is a very hot take.
You think so?
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
No way.
You don't think people know Tom Brady like that?
No, not worldwide. Really? Football is such an American sport.
Yeah.
But what about when we have the Super Bowl and he's been in it almost every year?
What about it?
It's the most watched
American
sporting event.
Like Indy 500 has more viewing time than the Super Bowl does, and that's on God. I'm going like Serena might have more. Nadal.
But you talked about David Beckham's wife Victoria Beckham and the influence that she has in and of herself. She doesn't even need David Beckham, but the way that they couple together.
Giselle, okay.
What about Giselle?
Okay.
What about all that Tom Brady does with GQ? GQ's so international.
Okay, some arguments are being made.
But, you know, it might be a hot take anyway. We're talking top three.
You think that if you walked up to someone and you were to go, if you were to show them a photo, here's Tiger Woods, here's Tom Brady, people know Tom Brady more than Tiger Woods.
I think Tiger Woods
more. You know, I think we're onto something right here. I think this could be a little special project that we could do with the Dads Who Try.
A little bracket?
That would be, oh, that's a great idea, Nate.
Hey,
you don't get the name Nate Dogg for nothing. Are you kidding me?
Two G's, by the way.
Two G's, D-O-double-G.
So, yeah, bro, so just going back to the, you know, the fitness stuff with you, Jake. You're a fitness guy. So whenever I think about fitness people, and this is not necessarily always true, but I feel like they always have a morning or like a routine. Are you a morning person?
I'm a morning person.
Like what's early?
My alarm goes off at 4:30.
Yeah. Shout out to the 4 a.m. club.
4:30. It was 4:15. Yeah. Then once Benny got closer to 2, I said, I'm giving myself 15 minutes back.
Yep. Okay, so you're up 4:30, and what do you do?
So, wow. Let's go. You got to take a screenshot and put that in the chat too, in the notes. 4:30, well, one of the reasons why I get up at 4:30, there's many reasons, but I work outside of fitness as well.
Yep.
For a company based in Northern Virginia, where I'm from.
Yep.
So I do... Although there's great flexibility, I do technically work off of East Coast hours. I build my calendar off of East Coast hours, right? So right now it's...
technically, you're waking up at 7:30.
That's good. Yep, yeah, exactly. Oh, man. So that's a contributing factor for sure. But the morning is my time, and you guys know this, and the dads out there, they know this. It's usually the best time for me to get the most amount of solitude, quiet time, me time. So given that I'm a man of faith, I get in my, you know, I read my Bible then, journal, drink my coffee, or three. Definitely three. And then if sometimes I'll do a workout in the morning as well. It just depends on the day and what my calendar looks like. But it's the non-negotiables that I fit in between 4:30 and 6 while my son is still asleep, while Sophia is asleep. It's like the absolute guaranteed me time.
Yeah.
So it's crucial.
When you don't, has there been mornings where you miss it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's more of a, what, I don't think that I'm actually being as affected as I'm telling myself that I am.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm very routine oriented, very routine oriented. So if I miss a habit that I've incorporated into my life, I tell myself, oh my gosh, everything's going to go south.
But
like, come on, don't be so dramatic.
Yeah.
But it does ground me. So if I miss it, you know, I'm working a little reverse.
Yeah, bro. I'm actually so dramatic in that way. I do. I've been told many times, why are you being so dramatic? Because I do get this, like, you know, urgency where I'm like, it doesn't feel the same. You know, I'm not off to the start of like, there's something interesting about waking up before the world wakes up.
Come on,
You feel like you kind of have like already an edge to it. You know, you've been up before, you know, I feel like a lot of people are up. And, but the ones that I truly need to be up before is really my kids. Yeah. Dude, I can't wake up at the same time they wake up because, dude, I get blasted.
Yeah.
And
you're set back.
Yeah. If I wake up when they wake up, I'm not ready for the day.
Right.
Yeah. That's,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think the three of us we're pretty hyper competitive individuals, and we know that that's not every dad or every father's, you know, makeup, you know, their DNA. But I'm so competitive that I gotta be up before other people, specifically the sun. I have to be up before the sun.
Yeah,
it's crucial.
If I wake up and the sun's out, it's like, oh, this must be vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like I just. There's something about it. Mm. I'm a creative, so that used to be in the PM hours, you know, or not the PMs, but I would stay up late.
Midnight oil.
Yeah, you know, right around 11 o'clock, I would get my creative burst.
Yeah.
And that's where I'd be able to start creating, editing, designing, you know, all that stuff, thinking, planning for the, you know, vision, writing, journaling, all that stuff. And then like right around 3-4 in the morning, it's like, okay, you got to go to bed and wake up. And then once I had kids, I had to figure out another way.
Yeah.
And I became a morning person, you know, pretty quickly. And I you know, I get people who ask this all the time. I'm sure you guys do too. How do you get up so early? Mm. And I'm like, they're like, I'm a night person. I was like, I don't think that that's a thing. I don't think that there's night people, morning people. I think that we all have created patterns and rhythms that are easily hackable if you choose to get past the first 3 days. You know, if you're a night person and you want to become a morning person, I'm convinced if you win the morning, you win the day. If you win the night, you got another set of hours, and then you wake up, and then you kind of reset. So I think if you win the morning, you set your whole day up for success. If you're listening and you want to become a morning person, and right now you're a night person, like, you guys can jump in the suit. Like, I'm sure we could talk diet and stuff, and maybe Jake, I'll lean on to you for that for a second. But really practically, the first three nights, the first 3 days are going to be rough.
Yep. Yeah.
You're going to go by your old habits. You know, you're going to set your alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. And no matter what, wake up at that time and you're going to be blasted because you're not going to go to bed at the right time. You're going to go to bed at midnight. You know, you're going to wake up with 4 hours, but you want to know what you're going to do the next night. You're going to go to bed a little early. You're going to do the night before. And then after 3 days, your body's reset and you're ready to go.
What's the saying? Nothing changes if nothing changes.
See, I think that that's the half truth.
Half truth.
Yep. I have it on as a flag in my living room as a decoration, and I think it's wrong. If nothing changes, everything deteriorates.
True.
That's everything a great thing. Is always in a state of decomposition if it's not growing.
Right.
Anything organic. Mm. So,
so crucial for leadership.
If nothing changes, you can it only maintains for a short amount of time. Maybe you can get by Jake, if you went a month and got rid of all of your routines, got rid of all of your eating disciplines, got rid of all your sleep disciplines, you got a month where you sustain the level that you're at. After about a month, and that's generous. After about a month,
very generous.
It starts going backwards.
Yeah. You become Blippi version one.
Wow. Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Reel it in, reel it in. Hey, you're a guest, Jake.
No, we're not going to bless Blippi 1. You guys.
Yo, if you're sorry, into Blippi, guys. We get it, you know. But I don't know if Blippi's for us.
Yeah. Blippi is definitely not for my household.
But hey, shout out to all the Blippi fans out there. Yeah. You know, more power to you.
Oh, man.
I have to tell my wife about this.
Yeah. How. We're talking about food for a second there. What is your, like,
are you tracking, like, the macros and all that right now?
I go through seasons where I do, because it can be a lot of work depending on how you approach it. But
yeah,
I tend to gravitate towards intuitive eating.
Yeah.
I love the saying in the fitness and nutrition space that you don't work out to eat. You eat to work out, or you fuel yourself to train. You don't train to fuel.
Yeah.
Right. You're supposed to use food and nutrition as your aid. You need to give your body what it needs. You're not only working out so that you can reward yourself to eat whatever you want. Eat the foods that are going to make you feel the way that you want to feel and help you perform the way that you want to perform. So that's primarily how I approach nutrition. However, if I have a certain goal that I'm trying to pursue, right? If I'm trying to lose weight, by the way, for anybody that's curious out there about nutrition and all of the different diets and which diet is right for you, let me encourage you. I have a bit of a nutrition background that a diet it's a placeholder. It's temporary. If you don't maintain that specific diet for all of time, then things start to change, right? Mm. If they don't change, then they deteriorate. So South Beach diet, paleo diet, keto diet, essentially what you're doing is you're not starving yourself, but you're eliminating calories via one macronutrient at a time, right? So for keto, it's very low carbohydrate intake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you use your fat as your primary use of storage, right? Exactly. So, but when you eliminate carbohydrates like that and you're having no more than 20 grams of carbohydrates a day, that's 80 calories, right? There's 4 calories per gram of carbohydrate. Then you're obviously your caloric intake is going to be less. All you need to do to lose weight is make sure that your caloric expenditure is higher than your caloric intake.
Hmm.
Energy in, energy out. It's a simple equation, yeah. Right?
It's literally not rocket science.
It's not at all. If I can do it, it's so far from rocket science. I will tell you, it's the opposite. It's like Blippi science.
Yeah. You guys, I'm telling you, this whole talk about like this food is so interesting to me, because even over the time that I've, you know, been like playing high school sports, then like when you, as you get older, you just notice like how your body changes, and you know, it develops like all these weird allergies, and then you got to start thinking about the food you're taking in and taking, you know, whatever. And I love the, you know, just competing, and I do love like challenging myself from time to time. And so, but I've noticed I've done that, and you know, there's just been phases that I go through, and I'm kind of been on this kick again where I really want to like discipline my body again. And so I've started doing this whole macros the last like 3 weeks. And I feel like since I've tracked it, it's caused such a healthy way of like a relationship with food with me, by the way. Wow. Because I used to think like, all right, if I want to lose weight, I just won't eat, kind of thing, right? Because I mean, natural, I'm just like, oh, if you don't intake, well then you're, you know. And so, and as I'm like training, man, like I actually train pretty hard. I feel like I'm in the gym probably four.
You look like it.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, there's been seasons in my life where I was so upset at the people around me, and I know it sounds so dumb, but I'm like, you guys didn't tell me that I looked like that. I looked like I was 50 pounds overweight. So when you have kids, you eat what your wife eats.
Yeah.
So she gets Taco Bell at night, and so you get Taco Bell at night.
It starts at pregnancy.
Yeah, it starts at pregnancy, right? And so I remember one time, bro, I was talking to some friends, and dude, they're like finding old pictures, and they're, you know, we're just kind of going through stuff, and they're like, oh, look at this picture of you. And dude, it looked like I had like 50 chins. Like, bro, I was thick.
I think it was the angle.
Oh, man, it must have been the angle for sure. I was probably wearing a double XL and I fit it nice. Yeah, totally.
Since the camera's not on and people can't see Tommy, viewers and listeners of Dads Who Try podcast, Tommy's biceps have biceps.
Dude, stop it. No.
His easy 20-inch unflexed biceps. Insanity.
You guys are generous as well.
He injects broccoli into his biceps.
Right now, looks like the physical representation of a Verizon commercial. It just keeps on getting bigger, okay? And I'm at the pinnacle of, I'm the real physical specimen in this room.
You're so dumb. But I think it's been back to the whole macro thing. This is the first time I've actually done it in a long time. And I totally forgot a lot about it, to be honest, until I started, you know, once you get the food scale, I think it's for real. And so I've been on and off weighing my food and stuff, and just, you know, I didn't realize I could actually eat certain foods. Like, you can eat food. It's just a portion of it. And so I think, like, but it just reminds me of, like, everything that we do. It just, you need to have, like, portion things out and, like, making sure that you have the right stuff. And so as of late, man, I'm like, dude, I can eat this stuff and be fine.
So good.
Dude, it's bizarre.
The last thing I'll add on it, because I could talk about it all day, is understanding the change in metabolism over time as well. The older you get, I mean, it's just a proven fact of anatomy. The older you get, the slower your metabolism becomes. Now, mind you, you factor in genetics and things of that nature, so not everybody's exactly the same. But generally speaking, the older you get, the slower your metabolism comes. So do yourself a favor, dads. You want to be able to be playing basketball when you're 60 with your 35-year-old son. Help yourself now by eating properly, fueling your body the way that it needs to be fueled, listening to it. Like you said, portion control is so crucial for metabolism. Help yourself. Preserve your metabolism longer than it might be if you're eating like a slob.
So obviously your metabolism changes over time. It deteriorates over time.
Yep.
And there's ways to hack that, you know, with nutrition, with exercise, with sleep, you know, all of that. Is there a point or are there events in your life, trauma, you know, sleep deprivation, substance abuse, that just knocks your metabolism out? You can't do anything to adjust it.
For me specifically, if I know the science.
Yeah, you know science. Yeah,
I'm sure the answer is yes. I haven't looked deeply into that, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But what I do know from research that I have conducted and, you know, what I've heard in the industry is that alcohol specifically, and you mentioned substance abuse, you don't even have to abuse alcohol. Alcohol consumption will derail your nutritional goals. Now, mind you, if you're a wine drinker, you're a beer drinker, and you have a beer with dinner, or you drink a glass of wine at dinner, that's not the end of your nutritional journey, okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not. Yeah, you're not. You are not doomed whatsoever. But if it is a staple, and I put air quotes around that, in your diet, or you're a frequent consumer of alcohol more than, you know, the glass or whatever, then your body's just fighting harder to utilize the proper nutrients and things to fuel your body.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it goes. Yeah. So I think it's the worst drug out there, by the way.
This is coming from someone, I've never been drunk in my life. And, you know, I say that it's not because, like, you know, I've been some noble, you know, beacon of sobriety. But that's just never interested me in my youth, you know, like where it would have, you know, been an interest for other people. To be honest, my mom was an alcoholic and for a while growing up, and before she went to rehab, like, that was just like, I'm good. That doesn't interest me. Then I started playing really high level paintball. That was my sport of choice.
Cool.
Traveling the country and stuff, and Monster. I was like, I'm too competitive. I you know. Yes, we were sponsored by Monster, and we would have cases of Monster.
My brother's a professional paintballer, by the way, as well.
No.
I swear.
Team's he on?
He played for DC Effect, based out of Northern Virginia, a 3-man team.
Shut your mouth.
I promise.
Dude, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
That is
I know very little.
You guys, I just seen Nate's, like, light bulb just went off for, like, 2 seconds. He's like, his eyes just lit up. Paintball?
The first time I asked him if I could play paintball with him, he said he had to light me up in the front yard with his paintball gun in order to do that. And sure enough, I let him, and he ripped me apart. Dude, and he had...
Light me up is the most paintball term of all.
He unloaded on that trigger. I hope he listens to this so he feels horrendous about it, but... just kidding. We laugh about it. Anyway, yeah.
I love it. I love this conversation. I don't think that, you know, I feel like there's two camps in health when it comes to fatherhood. There's like the alpha dads who have their space in social media, and there's only one way to do life, and it's the alpha way. And if you don't make your bed in the morning, then you're going to hell. And, you know, where's your creatine? Drink your eggs. Don't eat them. You know, stuff like that. And then there's the other side that's like, you know, this... You know, culture called the dad bod culture. You know, it's like you gotta embrace the fluff, and you know, this is an inevitability, you know, of fatherhood. My metabolism's gonna go down, so I might as well embrace the weight going up. You know, the whole trend. You know, find me at the barbecue, dad.
Oh my god.
You know, there's not a lot of conversations of like, no, we're just gonna be dads who try to be here for the long haul.
Wow.
And that means taking care of our health.
Yeah.
And I love what you're talking about, diets, and maybe, I don't know, you guys can lean into this too, but obviously you guys have, I have a lot of fitness and nutrition experience because I've worked with a lot of incredible people. And, but I would liken it to this. A diet is like a spending freeze, and you can't live life on a spending freeze. But there are times and places that you might need it, especially if you need if you're someone that needs a quick reset. But if you look at it like this is going to be the rest of my life, you're not going to be able to live life happily.
Yeah,
you have to have really strong financial principles that allow you to spend and save at the same time.
Wow.
And maybe if you're listening here and you're having a really hard time with your health, like, your first thing is probably just a perspective shift. Like, you don't have to make radical decisions. You just have to make consistent ones. Yeah. And I don't know, you guys can speak into it. I just feel like the biggest key to health is consistency over time.
I want to be mindful of the one thing I said about the diets. I was not knocking diets. I was just kind of emphasizing your point, saying that I don't think that a diet, whichever you choose, is sustainable for a lifetime. It serves a purpose in a season. It's absolutely helpful to, maybe you need to kickstart, like you're saying. Maybe you've been on a, you know, just a horrible nutrition tear lately, and you need to reset. You need to get back on the straight and narrow.
You're about to run a marathon this weekend with 300 people on a ranch. Your diet's going to look a little different.
Yep. So use it for
it's a tool.
It's a tool, exactly. Just like supplements, by the way.
Yeah.
Protein shakes shouldn't replace your actual food and things like that. It's supplementary by nature. So just little things to be mindful of, but I do encourage people, use the tools that you have available to you, because there's endless research. But do your research also, see what works. And everything is an experimental, there's an experimental phase to everything that you do, because what might work for you, Nate, and Tommy, might not work for me, and vice versa. So just because you hear testimonials of people having success with keto doesn't necessarily mean that keto is going to be the remedy for you. So be mindful and ultimately have the talk with yourself and go through the experiment yourself.
Isn't it crazy? It's like faith, politics, and diets. Like, you'll never find a more passionate person.
You know, yeah, exactly.
True.
Well, and I think it's just, you know, like, just going off of what you guys have been saying, is like, dude, it's all a, like, I hate, like, as I get older now, I can understand, like, because I used to be like, all or nothing, baby. You know, like that guy that just is like ready to jump all in and then like fails, and he's like, all right, I'm gonna, you know, this is not for me. I don't know if we should look at like health and food and all that stuff in that sense. I think it needs to just become a natural part of what you do in order to have sustainability. Like, I'm just like, even this whole stuff that I'm doing, I know, bro, that I'm not going to be tracking macros the rest of my life, but I think in this season of my life, I have a goal in mind. I want to just continue to take care of my health. I want to just be able to, you know, wake up, feel great, have a great, you know, like I said earlier, I'm finally eating, like, I think my proper like proportions, and I feel great. Yeah. You know, I'm like just, and who knows what that's going to look like in a year from now, but I think it's causing me to like, all right, this is kind of like the sustainability part that I can see happening. So I want to continue to do things the right way so that I can see my kids grow up, so I can be present in their lives, and that I can live a healthy life, period.
If everybody totally disregards everything that was said today, what Tommy just said, take that to the bank. Take that to the bank. Have a good relationship with food and nutrition. Yeah. It doesn't have to be scary. You can enjoy the foods that you like, portions. You want to just feel good. What good is a great aesthetic? What good is a six pack if internally you're a mess? Often, I mean, generally speaking, those things aren't coupled together. But seriously, I mean, if you have everything on the outside but you're deteriorating inside, it's temporary. It's no good.
Well, I think more and more the reason for health has externalized more than it has internalized. And what I mean by that
absolutely.
Is the reason for health now is not for longevity. It's not for a proper self-image. It's for image management on the outside. So you can post your six-pack. So you can, you know, look like this person, look like that person, project the image of health. And the entire time, you know, just like you said, your soul, your emotions are completely trash. You know, we've been around people who've had a horrible relationship with themselves, who look like a trillion bucks.
Yeah.
You know, and they see themselves as just floppy, chunky, ugly. And I'm going like, if that's how you're describing yourself,
let's trade.
God, I'm a blue whale. I'm a find. You know what I'm saying? Look, I'm very facetious, all right? I use a lot of self-deprecating humor. And it's because I'm confident on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? I see myself as an athlete on the inside. And my outside's going to catch up. I'm confident of that.
I love that
approach. Will happen. You know, but I'm in that month season that we're talking about, where it's like, if I don't make consistent changes over time, I'm going to, if nothing changes, right, deteriorate. Mm. So now, you know, and I think if anyone's listening to this, like, first of all, you're not too far gone. Your next decision can be your best decision.
Wow.
You just link those. It doesn't even have to be a best decision, poor, good, better, best. Let's just make a bunch of good decisions, not poor ones. They don't have to be the best. You don't have to have the best diet, the best workout, the best supplements. But you should have a good diet.
Yeah.
A good exercise. Go on a walk. And you link those together over time, you're going to be healthy.
11 out of 12 months of the year, I don't have a six-pack or anything phenomenal to display. But every single day, with the exception of getting sick, I wake up with great energy. I wake up able to perform and do the things that I strive to do. And that is attributed to consistency of making a decent choice at a time. The decent choices become better choices, primarily from nutritional and physical movement standpoint, and sleep as well. Like, your recovery is important. But You know, I'm not a physical specimen that would be on the face of GQ for looking like an absolute animal. But I feel like I perform sometimes like I'm an absolute animal. And that's, I'm grateful for that. Like, I will always whoop Benny's butt in everything that we do. He will never be better than me. Until I say, you know what, I want you to carry on the legacy and be better. And then you just hand over the throne. Like LeBron to Bronny.
I'm loving the Bronny situation.
Come on now.
Okay, Jake, I'm going to put you in the hot seat.
Let's go.
If you could describe each one of us as an Olympic lift, what would we be?
Oh, that's a sick question. I've never been asked that before. All right, Nate, you would be a clean to press. You'd be a clean to press.
Wow,
coming smooth out of your squat.
Nice.
Tommy, I think you'd be a snatch, bro.
A snatch.
I think that I think
he didn't
you'd
say
be
a snack. He said a snatch.
Well, if after I see you snatch, you might be a might be a snack after you see you snatch.
wow.
Yeah, no, dude, just a dead snatch. You're just hanging hip region and then bang right under it.
Snatch.
I think there's something about your physical makeup that I just see you snatching all over people.
Dude, your body's built, it just looks like explosive power, bro.
Yeah. I would not wrestle you.
Dude, this sounds like the most romantic conversation we ever had. We're just complimenting Tommy's body. But dear God, you look like you could jump to the moon, bro.
You do.
Bro, stop.
You
guys, I have the weakest ankles in the world. Which, by the way, I need to ask you a few questions about my ankles.
You know what? My joints are jacked up too, but you know what? If you have great glutes, then forget your ankles.
You guys, this has been the best conversation. My God. Oh, I love this.
This has been phenomenal. Great laughing.
We've hit on some fun topics. I do see the future of Dads Who Try kind of encompassing, and you know, the three of us, we've talked about this before, but I would love to, I think we're on the way to start a newsletter.
Yeah.
We have a website coming out really soon, which I'm excited for. That's going to be just kind of like a hub of all things Dads Who Try. We're going to have some like guests, you know, writing articles and stuff like that. I do think, though, if we really want to be Dads Who Try, there's a health component to life that can't be just a side thing. It's got to be a main part of the conversation. And, you know, we talked about a lot of dietary stuff and health stuff and fitness this podcast. And I think for the future of Dads Who Try, like, there's a community of people. Look, we took a poll, more than 500 people from the Dads Who Try community on Instagram said they want to start a Dads Who Try health program or fitness program. So I think there's just, dads don't want the dad bod, you know, regardless, we're dads with bodies. And so we all have dad bods, but I think that the relationship, like there's a real redeeming factor to that idea. You know, we can restructure what a dad bod looks like in our own perspectives. And you know, the way I see it is like that a dad bod should be a body that keeps you into your twilight years, you know it should be the body that lets you be at the peak ability to prioritize your relationships with people. And I think if you prioritize your own physical health for your sake, that's one thing, but I want to be healthy enough where my weight, my energy levels, stop being distractions.
That's it.
I want to get to the place where I'm not with my family going like, can I climb this hill? Can I wrestle with my kids? Can I do this thing? Can I jump out of an airplane? You know?
Yeah.
The answer is yes, I did that this summer. But yeah, I think all those things kind of come into play. And I think it would be so cool to start something with the Dads Who Try community that becomes a vessel, a vehicle for communal, health program is not what we're talking about, but just like a place for people to celebrate health together.
Yeah.
I think we know a perfect guy for the job to lead that charge.
Yep. Absolutely. You have a great CrossFit background, if I'm not mistaken, which is probably where the Olympic lift question came from, right?
It is, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Olympic lifts are my favorite.
Crucial.
Look, I can do about 70 pull-ups in a minute. Oh. I'm not kidding, so.
Kipping style. You went from Nate Dogg to K-Dogg.
Okay, it's 7:50 in the morning, and I know that, Jake, you gotta bounce out of here pretty quick. My parking's almost up where I'm at, and so I got to bounce out of here real fast. If you can part with any last, this is, maybe it could have been from the conversation we had at the very beginning about Benny, or maybe some of this fitness stuff. Maybe it's, you know, our conversations about life legacy and how KD, Kyrie, Chris Paul will never get a ring by themselves. I don't know, whatever it is. If you can leave some dads with anything, what would it be?
Well, I think I'm going to say it solely from what I have been trying to do better than anything else. And that is prioritize the health of my relationship with my son's mom at the highest level. Because I think, and I understand that there's single fathers out there and there's single mothers out there, and we can talk on the side and I can make a direct dad recommendation. And maybe if that's the case, right, I don't want to neglect those people. Never stop showing up, whatever that looks like. Be the first, be the first person to have, you say in Dads Who Try, get low or go low, yeah. Right? Yeah. Be the first person to have those tough or what we call uncomfortable conversations with your kids. Don't let them, try to not let them learn things that they need to know about life and being a man from the internet before they learn it from you, right? But those that are in a domestic partnership or have a spouse, work with your spouse first, because you guys are a unit and a team, and the health of your unit and team has direct effect on your child or children. Mm. So prioritize those things.
What a treat this morning.
I had a blast. You guys are hilarious. We're the next big three. If I'm ever included in the conversation again. Oh, you know what? On. Hold on. We got LeBron. We got Kyrie. Channing Frye.
No.
Nobody likes him anymore. After the hot take you took. Great, Nate. Thanks.
No, I'm kidding.
You're kidding. Olympic lift. I take it back. Kipping.
Hey, this is officially the longest podcast we've ever done.
Let's go.
Sweet.
Happy 35, felt like guys. The fastest.
Happy 35.
We love you guys so much. Don't forget to like, comment, share. I don't know.
Subscribe.
Press that subscribe button.
Get them.
We love you guys. We'll see you on episode 36.
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Team don't sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.